Now, through this Advent season, we've been considering together names and titles that are attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we've now covered this side of the chapel: Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And last Sunday night, Mark helped us with Emmanuel. So today we're going to look at Lamb of God. Tonight is King of Kings, and then in the morning we have Jesus Christ. So we've done Wonderful Counselor and Son of God. So today is Lamb of God. And the reason we've been exploring these names and these titles is to help us understand something of Jesus' character. Who he is. Why has he come? What does it mean? And does it really matter? And when we come to consider Lamb of God, I have three little headings. Other than what does it mean and why does it matter? But firstly, where is the Lamb? Who is the Lamb? And worthy is the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Come with me back to the book of Genesis. And you'll know that story, I'm sure, in Genesis 22 of Abraham taking his son, his only son Isaac, and they went to Mount Moriah, and he was going to sacrifice his only son. And in verse 7 of that chapter in Genesis, Isaac said to his dad, "Dad, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb?" Of course, then when we think of the significance of that story, it's a wonderful picture of how a father is willing to sacrifice his son. And Abraham replied to Isaac, "The Lord will provide for himself a lamb." Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? Then if we're to turn the pages over into Exodus, we see something of how God makes provision for the children of Israel, that he will bring them out of captivity, he will bring them out of slavery, and he will take them to the land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey. And we know that the provision in that 10th plague is a lamb. And so you can imagine, can't you, that God has instructed Moses and Aaron, and they communicate God's word to God's people. These are the instructions from God. This is God's plan. And you can imagine now, can't you, that the height of activity in the families, and even maybe the children saying, "Dad, where is the lamb? Have we got one a year old without any spot or blemish? Where is the lamb?" Of course, we know that when the angel of death came to destroy all the firstborn, God promises, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And he was true to his word. And so therein, turn to then the next book, Leviticus. And then we're introduced to, in Leviticus 16, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And so we are reminded that through the provision of a lamb that's without defect, a lamb that's perfect and spotless, is provided. Because this lamb will be killed, will be slain, will be sacrificed, so that the sin of the people is forgiven. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of a sacrifice, without the blood being spilt, where is the lamb? As we go through scripture, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? when you come to the New Testament, that lambs were sacrificed twice a day. Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? On the hillside, on the night that Jesus was born, an angel with the angelic host came to bring the message of great joy to all the people, to some shepherds. And these weren't just some shepherds, because in Bethlehem, there was a region of Bethlehem, an area where the shepherds were called to breed and to rear lambs that would be acceptable in Jerusalem to be sacrificed. Where is the lamb? Word from Jerusalem is, we need more lambs. Where is the lamb? Without the offering that God prescribes. That was the prescription that God prescribed, that no one can approach a holy God unless they approach him through the blood and the death of a lamb. Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb in your life today? Does the Lamb of God, does he possess significance for you? Where is the lamb? When we've been going through as a church on Sunday nights of late in Revelation, we see that there was only one who was worthy to open the scrolls. There was only one in Revelation 5 and following. There was only one who was able to be seated on the throne. The Lamb! The Lamb! And so at Christmas time, God says, behold the Lamb of God. In that reading from John in chapter 1, he came and he shouted to the people, behold the Lamb of God. Where is the Lamb? Secondly, who is the Lamb? Now, of course, as we've been going through some of these Old Testament prophecies, that immediately we can see and understand who the Lamb is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing is that Isaiah says, who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? In other words, can people grasp the message of who the Lamb is? Can they grasp the significance that Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, Son of the Eternal Father, he is the Lamb? Will they handle, will they grasp, will they embrace the one who is the Lamb? Isaiah 53, we see here a picture of a suffering servant. Despised. Rejected by men. A man of sorrows. Acquainted with suffering. But there in verse 7, we see here, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. The reason Jesus came was Calvary. Calvary made his great mission complete. He came to die in the place of sinners like us. He came to bear away our sin. He was willing. He wasn't cajoled. He was willing. He came. There was one who was willing to die in my place so that a soul so unworthy might live. And my sin was nailed to his cross with such anguish and loss. Jesus went to the cross and he carried my sin with him there. Lamb of God, it's Jesus. 700 years before he was born, Isaiah says, look, He'll be led like a lamb to the slaughter. He is God's eternal and atoning sacrifice for sin. He only can unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. A lamb. A lamb. I wonder if you've often thought this. And I saw a text yesterday which thrilled my heart. In actual fact, I became quite emotional in reading this text, because it was the essence of this message, really. You see, Luke tells us that on the night Jesus was born, that Mary took him and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. You've just sung it. Away in a manger. Now, a manger is just really, it's nothing fancy. It's not like a crib that we would have for our children and grandchildren. No, it's just literally a stone in Israel. It's a stone animal feeding trough. That's all it was. But she laid him in a manger. And of course, when the angel came and told those shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night, they said, "Look, we bring you great news, glad tidings of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, in the city of David, Bethlehem, where lambs were raised and inspected and sent up to Jerusalem for sacrifice. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour." Wow, this is amazing. Hear that, Bob? Yeah, I did hear. Wow. A Saviour. Who is Christ the Lord? But it's the next bit that makes sense to the shepherds. It wouldn't have made sense to anyone else. The lawyers of the day and the solicitors and all the academics and all the white-collar workers. It would have made any sense to them at all. This sign that the angel gives only makes sense to shepherds. "And this will be a sign for you, that you'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Now, why is that significant? Because when they were sifting through, looking for the lambs to be sent up to Jerusalem for sacrifice, the ones really that they thought, "Oh, look at this. Hey, Bob, come here." We ain't got a Bob here, have we? Always pick on a name with some. "Bob, look at this. Oh, this is a beauty. Male. Look at it. Have a look. I can't find any defect. Be careful. This is precious." What they would do, they would take some swaddling cloths, some bands, and they would wrap the lamb. And those that were prepared without spot and blemish were laid for protection in the manger. Amazing. "This will be a sign. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." They knew in that moment, they knew that this was the Lamb of God. In that moment, they knew, they understood, they had insight that he was the fulfillment. This child that's been born is the fulfillment of God's word. The very word became flesh. The Lamb of God. They didn't have to wait for John the Baptist to say, "Look," pointing to Christ when he was an adult. They knew in that moment, he's the Lamb of God. No wonder they went with haste. So it says, isn't it? In Luke's account, they went with haste. And they found everything just as the angel had told them. Where is the Lamb? He was born in Bethlehem, the very place where lambs are prepared for sacrifice. But this will be the sign that you'll know he is the Savior of the world. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling cloths or bands and lying in a manger. In that moment, they went and they came and their hearts were filled with worship and amazement. Are your hearts filled with worship for the Lamb of God this Christmas? Are your hearts filled with amazement this Christmas because you know the Lamb of God? Where is the Lamb? Who is the Lamb? He's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Worthy is the Lamb. We read that, don't we? Turn with me quickly to Revelation and chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, and we see something here. The worth of the Lamb. Why he is worthy of all our adoration and thanksgiving and praise. Because he is the Lamb of God who has died bearing our sin in his body on the tree. Look at verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb. Seated on the throne, worthy is the Lamb to be praised. We don't just come to church on Christmas Day because it's traditional. Some people do. In actual fact, some people I know, that's the only day in the whole year that they deign to darken the doors of a church or chapel. But we come because we know him. We come because we love him. We come because we serve him. We come because we live for him. He is my breath. He is my sunshine. He is my all in all. The great Creator became my Savior. And all God's fullness dwells in him. He's the Lamb of God. Slain, the scriptures say, before the foundation of this world. He's the Lamb of God. In my place, he was condemned. Why? Had he done wrong? No. Listen to the conversation of the thieves that were crucified either side of Jesus. We're here because we deserve it. We're here because of our own sin, of our own crimes that we have done. But the one said to his friend, but he's done nothing wrong. He's the sinless Son of God. He's a lamb without spot and blemish. So the hymn writer says, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. He's the Lamb of God. The Lamb. But the amazing thing is, he's not just the Lamb of God. God's sacrifice for our sin, for the sin of the world. But tonight we'll discover he is King of Kings. King of Kings. Have we got that? Be awkward, wouldn't it, if we miss one out? He's King of Kings. Where is the Lamb? What does this Lamb of God mean to you this morning? Maybe some of you have been to Bethlehem. Raise a hand if you've been to Bethlehem. Two of you have. I have no desire to go to Bethlehem. It's a funny thing for the pastor to say, isn't it? I have no desire to go to Bethlehem. Because the one that was born in Bethlehem has come to me. He's come to me. This Lamb of God, he lives within me. He reigns within my heart. It's in him we live and move and have our being. That he's given me a future. He's given me a hope. He's given me a sense of purpose. Have you got a sense of purpose this morning? It's a plan for us as a church, for us as individuals. But above all, that on account of the Lamb of God, God's Lamb, that one day I can stand before a holy God and not be consumed. I can stand before a holy God and the judgment for my sin that I deserve has already been paid. It's been meted out. It fell upon him. He took what I had, which was my sin and my rebellion, and the Father placed it on Jesus Christ, God's Lamb. And he carried my sin on the cross. He was judged. The fire, the wrath, the anger, the fury of God, a holy God, fell upon him that I might be forgiven. The price has been paid for my forgiveness. So he took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He took them upon himself. The sinless Son of God became sin for you and for me. Lamb of God, where is the Lamb? Is he living in your heart by his Spirit? Who is the Lamb? The promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Worthy is the Lamb. One day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is gloriously Lord. He is Lord. Is he your Lord? You know, sometimes you walk down into town and not just in Newport, but any town, and you might see sometimes a sign in the window and it says, under new management. I love that. You know what I do when I see that sign? I go in. Because I always think I might be their first customer. I never ask. But I always go in. I thought that's a kind thing to do. Go in, under new management. Hi, I'm Andy. How you doing? It's a new beginning for them. I want to encourage them. But I want to encourage you this morning. This Christmas, today, this Christmas Eve can be a new beginning for you. You can be under new management. You can live a life under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can know the Lamb of God for the reality that he has 2,000 years ago. He has removed your sin from you. And he'll never bring it back to your charge again. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Your sins and your iniquities have been taken away. As far as the east is from the west, I've removed your transgressions from you. Behold, says John, the Lamb of God. Behold, with the eye of faith, look now. Look away to Calvary. Do you see him? The Lamb of God. Do you see the form of one, a man dying there on that center cross? He's dying for you. Cry to him now. He not only died, he rose again for you. He rose again for your justification, that you might be declared forgiven and righteous for you. And that's the greatest Christmas gift that any man, woman, or boy or girl can receive, to discover and encounter the Lamb of God who took away our sin, who took away my sin. And that then really will be a blessed and happy Christmas. Behold the Lamb of God. Where is the Lamb? Who is the Lamb? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain for us. Well, let's conclude.